In Romans chapter 2, beginning with verse 17 to the end of the chapter, "Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, For circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the circumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he that is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Loving Father, we do ask your blessing upon this passage. Pray, Lord, you will minister it to our hearts. Pray your Holy Spirit teach it to us, Lord, as only your Spirit can do so. And we ask your grace and mercies unto us, that we may be edified in faith together. In Jesus' name, amen. A true man of God is one inwardly. It's one inwardly. We've already seen in chapter 1 that the whole world is guilty. That is, the whole world is lost. That there is none righteous, no, not one. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That man is truly in himself unrighteous and not worthy of any self-righteousness, for his sin is truly in him from the very beginning. These things we have all seen, and we understand that in Romans chapter 1 there is a picture being painted here that righteousness alone comes from God, and that the whole world is guilty before God. As in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness," or who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. As we know that all men do suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Why? Because no matter how moral they may be, or how much they keep the law of God, we know that man does not condemn himself, but man would somehow seek to propagate his own good and self-interest. And that there is much to reveal that the world is guilty because of man's turning away from God. And in man's turning away from God, of course, there is that which is revealed in the heart of man, no more than that sin which separates man from God. So the whole world is truly lost and is truly guilty. The second thing we note in chapter 2 is that the moralizer also is lost. And as it begins in chapter 2, "Therefore thou art Inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. And so even if a person is quite moral, yet they still are guilty before God because they have made unto themselves a law, and even if they keep true to that law, they eventually will break that law, and their moral guilt is well known to God because they, again, are acting out their own fallen nature. And so the moralizer is also guilty before God, that one who would keep a law unto himself. And now as we get a little bit further into this chapter, in chapter 2, we take particular note that the Jew also, though he is a lawkeeper, and that the Jew is one who is so named a Jew because he is part of the people of God, nonetheless is a man who will not and cannot keep the law of God, but has only been given the law of God that he might know his own sin. And so one cannot then make themselves right or righteous by the law of God. One must live true to the commandment. That is true, but yet man cannot create his own righteousness by the law. And so even though he might call himself of the circumcision, the rite or ritual of or ceremony of does not make one right with God. It only is a sign and seal of the people of God. And so as we look at that part of the text this afternoon from verse 17 to verse 29, first of all, let us begin saying those who instruct others should live true to the law. Verses 17 to 20. Those who instruct others shall live true to the law. Verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, and light of them which are in darkness. Well, it is true that the Jew was given certain privileges according to the law of God. Those privileges come to the Jew as God has given them the oracles of God. He has given the Jew a privileged relationship. God did call Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees. God did establish a people through the posterity of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and so forth. And we do know that those people of God were sanctified and set apart as a people of God. And there were no other people of God but those that were established according to God's calling and ordination, if you will, a people of God in the Old Testament. But even so, we find that though the Jew may rest in the law and make his boast of God, that in itself is not sufficient to say one is right with God. There may be a very perfect a person who believes that they are right with God because of the things they are doing, whether it be Jew or Gentile, but that does not make them right with God just because they think they are doing right. We find that one must live true to the law of God. One must live true to God's law according to his word. And one must have the righteousness which is of God according to faith. And we find that Paul sets out here to destroy this argument that the Jew, just because he is a Jew, or just because the Jew has the law, or just because the Jew is called the people of God, then they are somehow right with God. And that is not true. And we might also say that just because we call ourselves Christians, or just because we have a Bible in our home, or just because we know what the Bible says, does not make us right with God either. There must be a better relationship, one of a better Savior. as we cannot save ourselves, there is one who we look to, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so this argument that those who instruct others should live true to the law is a valid argument. Verse 18, "And knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law." And of course, we do know that the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes of Jesus' own day, the Pharisees were instructors of others, yet we find that they did not have complete knowledge of all things. And especially when it came to the righteousness of God, which is by faith, they did not have complete knowledge. There was one who came to Jesus by night, so named Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee. And yet we find that as Jesus began to teach him of the way of salvation and how that he might be born again, Nicodemus did not understand those things. How can I enter a second time into my mother's womb and be born? But Jesus said to him, "Ye must be born again. Thou art a teacher in Israel and knowest not these things." And so it is true that the Pharisees were very well educated, that they were truly of the of that group of people called the people of God. They were well educated, but yet they did not know all things completely, and certainly they did not have any right of their own to self-righteousness. The righteousness alone which saves is the righteousness of God. "And knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, and light of them which are in darkness." And of course we do know that the Pharisees did teach and preach the word of God, and did seek to instruct. Yet Jesus, as even as a young child, came into their midst and did teach them, and they were astonished at the teaching of Jesus among them, for they did not know how he obtained such knowledge and insight into the scriptures which he related to them. Even they who were well educated in the laws, the law of God, in every way, yet did not understand this boy, this young child, who was called the Christ, the one who came to save his people from their sins. Yet they themselves were supposed to be instructors of others. They were supposed to be teachers of the law. They were supposed to be guides of those who were blind, and a light of them which are in darkness. An instructor of the foolish, verse 20, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. All these things were considered to be right and true according to the heritage and the tradition of the Jewish people, but yet in and of themselves they did not have the righteousness of God. They held the oracles of God in their hands. They possessed the inspired scriptures. Their prophets spoke the very word of God and gave certain prophecy of the coming of the Messiah and of the Christ who was to come, the anointed of God. Yet they did not recognize him when he was in their midst. Nor did they realize of their own sin and of that which kept them from the righteousness of God, which is by faith. For God alone reveals these things to the heart of an individual. And we find that Paul seeks to expose, as it were, expose the Jew and expose him to his trust in the law of God as if that were the end-all and be-all of all things. But rather, we find that the law was given but to be an instructor in itself and to show the sin which they had. As well, it is to us to be a schoolmaster to us and to teach us our own sin. Secondly, in verses 21 to 24, others will blaspheme the name of God if we live not true to the law. Verses 21 to 24. Others will blaspheme the name of God if we live not true to the law. In verse 21, thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Well, here is the paradox, if you will, or the sense of hypocrisy that is within man. We can be ever so righteous in the things that we say and yet be guilty of breaking the very thing that we say. And the Jew, of course, was no different. Though the Jew was a part of the people of God, and the Jew was had the very oracles of God in their hand, and the Jew was given the obligation of teaching the children and unto their children and unto their children, etc., to pass along this wonderful truth of the Word of God, yet we find that they could not keep the very law which they themselves possessed, which was given to them as an heritage. And we find that so many people do trust in their own works, in their own efforts. They may be given all of the tools to understand and to be instructed and to have as a heritage those things which are of the law and the commandment, but yet we lack one thing. We have no ability to keep the law in its entirety. And therefore we have no self-righteousness of our own. But we must obtain the righteousness of God, and that is the righteousness of God by faith through Jesus Christ our Lord. There must be one who is our true high priest and Savior that we are to trust in and that we are to know as our true Lord. And so it is, the instructor needs instruction. And just to possess the book one is not enough. One must have the truth of the Word of God in the heart by faith. And so, verse 22, he goes on to further explore this same thought. Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? See, here are some very common problems within the character of man, that man is tempted to commit acts of immorality, acts of whether it be fornication or adultery. One is prone to commit other things, such as to have other gods before him, as to take unto him other gods. And even though the Jew was given the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery, yet the Jew committed adultery. Thou shalt not murder, yet the Jew committed murder. Thou shalt not steal, yet the Jew did steal. As we all are guilty in those crimes, if one is guilty of one, then he is guilty of all. And he mentions also here the sense of committing sacrilege against the law of God. Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. And so here we find the statement that the Apostle Paul finally reaches, and that is that others will blaspheme the name of God if we live not true to the law of God. And since no man can live true to the law of God, ultimately others will blaspheme the name of God because of our lack of ability to keep the law of God. And so if we say that our righteousness is by the law of God rather than by faith in Jesus Christ, then we open ourselves up to others to blaspheme the name of God, because we cannot keep it. We cannot fully keep it. And here is a, of course, here is a boast that the Jew did make. The boast of the Jew was that they were the people of God. The boast of the Jew was that they possessed the law of God. The boast of the Jew was that they possessed those things belonging to the Jewish people as singularly and peculiarly belonging to the people of God, and that they worshiped the one true and living God, even. But yet they were guilty of breaking their own commandments. And so we find that that others will blaspheme the name of God if we do not live true to that which we say is our righteousness. And so that is an area that Paul wanted to explore, to expose, if you will, so that as he left no stone unturned, he would expose the sin of man, whether it be the moralizer or whether it be the whole world as being guilty in the sight of God, or whether it be the Jew who possessed the law of God. Thirdly, a true man of God is one inwardly through, in, or by the Spirit of God. A true man of God is one inwardly through, in, or by the Spirit of God. Verses 25 to 29. For circumcision verily profiteth little, if thou keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Well, we know that the circumcision was the seal, as it were, or the rite or ritual whereby the Jew was known as a Jew, as a son of Abraham, or as a progeny of Abraham. And so circumcision, that small operation, if you will, which showed itself upon the male, was that which set apart the people of God as being the posterity of Abraham. And then he goes on to say here, therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? Okay, so now Paul goes on to say this. Well, if circumcision does not then produce righteousness in and of itself, though one might claim it, then what of those who are uncircumcised? If the uncircumcised keep the law of God, shall not their uncircumcision be circumcision? In other words, the righteousness of an individual is not based upon that which is external. It may be, there may be some benefit of external rite and ritual, but that in itself does not save. That in itself does not make one right with God. And though the Jew was very much benefited by the things which God required of them, certainly the Jew was known to be the worshiper of the one true God. The Jew was known to nationally to be a people of God under theocratic government. The Jew was given the law of God or the oracles of God that they might be known as a people who kept a moral code which was given to them by God and by God alone, the Mosaic Covenant. And all these things proved the Jewish people as a people, individually, as a people, as a society, as a people in their religion. All these things were proven. They were benefits of their relationship to God. But those things in of themselves did not make them right with God. And so Paul sought to expose and turn over these stones which had long been left idol, and decided to show his own people how that they could not trust in these things, but they must trust in the God of salvation. And the true God of salvation gave unto them the Lord Jesus Christ, who came in the fullness of time, born of a virgin, came into this world, the Savior of sinners, came to die for the sins of the world, came as promised, as aforetime promised by the prophets, came as that one who would be the sacrifice for sin, the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. And the Jews should have known this. And the Jews should have known that their righteousness was not in the law, nor was it in these peculiar benefits that belonged to the Jew, or the tradition which they held, but must be only in the righteousness of God, which is of faith. And so Paul begins to explore these various areas and to expose them. Verse 27, "And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh." So true circumcision, which is of God, is not that one which is outwardly in the flesh. True circumcision is of the heart, by faith. And so in verse 29, "But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." And so by exposing all these things concerning the Jew, that he was an instructor of others, that he possessed the law of God, that he held these things in great benefit of God, but yet he himself must seek the righteousness of God, which is by faith. Just as Abraham, the father of the Jewish people, did seek also that righteousness of God, which is by faith, as Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness' sake. And so the true man of God is one inwardly, through or in or by the Spirit of God, as one recognizes that the Spirit of God works that which is inwardly, that the Spirit of God works internally in our very lives to reveal to us that need which we have, so that Jesus could say that ye must be born again, and that the Spirit of God must do that work upon our hearts, which natural birth cannot accomplish in and of itself, and that the Jewish lawkeeper is lost and must seek the righteousness of God, which is by faith, as all are lost and cannot have the righteousness of God except it be by faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, let's stop right there for today, and next week, the Lord willing, we'll pick it up at chapter 3 and go on concerning the advantage of the Jew and various comments to which Paul makes concerning his final verdict. Loving Father, we do thank you for your love and grace to us. Teach us of these things that we might also not be content with anything else but the righteousness of God, which is by faith through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we do thank you, Father, for your love and grace to us. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.